What would national hunt racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Before we get into the show, we'd just like once more to extend our condolences from everyone connected on this podcast to Stefano Kirky, the young Italian jockey who such bad news that he passed away just a few short days ago. As Fran Berry said on this very show yesterday, recorded on Wednesday, it does put everything into perspective, and our thoughts are very much with Stefano's friends and family at this very difficult time. We've seen a few messages from the likes of Callum Shepherd and others on Twitter, and they really have been heartfelt. So we do wish our condolences and send our condolences to all connections of Stefano. Really puts everything in perspective. This is our weekend tipping show, and I'm joined as what is now normally for the weekend by Rory DeLarghi and the red hot Joe Logue. But before I bring in the lads, producer Mark's got a bit of housekeeping. He's filming a Punters panel show on Monday ahead of the Aintree Grand National extravaganza. And he's got Mick Fitzgerald, Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey, a regular over the national fences, Frank Hickey. It is Aintree themed, as mentioned. And if you'd like to ask the lads a question and potentially, no, you would win a free bet in the process if your question is used, email fthm@paddypower.com and producer Mark will have a look and get back to you as soon as possible. Now, Joseph Logue. Red hot form, Laurel River in the Dubai World Cup, intense raffles in the Irish Grand National. I would say you're the only tipster to ever do that double ever.
Unique enough, PK. Yeah, I didn't back to Dublin, in fairness, but I did back both of them.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. Peaking at the right time now at Aintree around the corner, and some decent racing the weekend. So yeah, we'll take it while it's good.
Did you get any love on Twitter? Apart from myself, I'm always...
Well, yeah, you're actually flattering me, PK. I was a bit mortified, to be honest, with your...
I can stop doing it if you want. Yeah. I can stop doing it if you want. No problem. Absolutely. No problem.
It was good. Look, and glad to see a few lads are on as well. So, it's always good to give people a few winners.
Well, I know a listener to this podcast, and I think he's on a few others, Stephen Cass, who famously tips up the Eurovision every year. I think his big double is trying to get the Eurovision Aintree Grand National double. But you got something close with the Dubai World Cup and the Irish Nationals. Rory, how are you? Where in the world are you? That's always the first question for me.
I was going to say sunny Hampshire, but it's not been sunny for some time, has it? It does occasionally threaten to peak out, but now I'm back on home soil and will be for a couple of months at least.
I know it's probably getting pretty hot in Saudi, but I'd say, do you know what? It's just miserable. It's getting me down. I'll be honest, this weather is getting me a little bit down at the moment, but fingers crossed spring is going to spring into action soon enough. But we're recording on Thursday, 10 past 12. We have just heard the news that Kelso are going to inspect on Friday ahead of their card on Saturday, which is on ITV. So with that in mind, we're pushing Kelso selections to the end of the podcast with the assumption we'd have to make it odds on that it's not going to pass that inspection. So we're going to start with Kempton, and then we're going to go around the world. And to be fair to the lads, they didn't have a great deal of time to look ahead to any of the other races. So I'm just going to point and shoot and see if I get an opinion out of some of the races elsewhere. So let's start with Kempton. It is on ITV. It will be on ITV. And the first race is the Snowdrop Filly Stakes, a listed contest over the mile. Operating off a tissue guide here. Many tiers for James Ferguson. First start for James Ferguson, actually, many tiers, having formerly trained here in Ireland. Likely or possible favourite with Choicea for the Crisfords. You then got Mystic Pearl, Adelaide's Julia Augusta, who's been backed in the anti-post market. And Rory, I go to you first for the listed contest at Kempton.
Yeah, I didn't find this particularly easy, I have to say. Choicea is an obvious one, and she's probably around the head of the market for the in-form Simon and Ed Crisford combination. And she has, of course, a distance winner on her final start last season off a mark of 98. That gives her a very good chance of being there or thereabouts. But I'm going to take a bit of a chance on Mini Tears starting out for James Ferguson. She does have a little bit to find on the figures, but she's unexposed on artificial services, unexposed at a mile and further. And I thought she did well to win as well as she did in Listed Company at Dundalk on her final start for Gerald Lyons in November. She's come from well off the pace that day. They didn't go particularly hard either. It was a bit of a sprint finish and she out-sprinted them up the straight to win in good style. I thought you could mark her up a fair bit on that performance. Now, the overall level of her form, she was running in handicaps off marks in the 70s prior to that, would suggest she's got a lot to do. But I think she improved a fair bit on that final start. And I think the step up to a mile was probably a help. She's by a sprinting stallion and Showcasing, but Showcasing gets plenty of winners. I nearly backed a horse by Showcasing over fences on heavy ground at Warwick today before they called the meeting off. So Showcasing's... plenty of them stay further than the pedigree suggests they should. And I think Mini Tears is unexposed at a trip and might just be still a bit of a surprise package here.
Okay, keep an eye out for Choice C. Mini Tears, I should say. Likely bit four is the field, so you're going to get prices wherever you fancy. I see Joseph O'Brien's got a runner in the race in Adelaide's Joe. Could be interesting, but what were your thoughts?
I agree with Rory here. I think Mini Tears is the one that stands out a mile for me. Rory's touched on a few bits, obviously making a stable debut for James Ferguson here. But I thought she was really good at Dundalk as well towards the end of the year. She beat a decent yardstick and didn't have much to do that day. But she does, to me, like Rory said, seem to be better on the all-weather, and she is unexposed on it. She's 2 from 3 there. And I think, just to add on to everything Rory said there, I think it's very notable that, she's going to have obvious improvement turning 3 to 4, but I think she should improve naturally moving yards as well, because look, it's no secret that Gerald Lyons had a quiet year last year. His horses weren't running particularly well, so I think anything she did last year you can foresee her improving. I think she was pretty decent. I think Gerald's kind of hit form towards the end of the summer, start of the winter last year. I think she's going to improve plenty. I could see her becoming a real high performer now moving yards. Hopefully Gerald's got off to a good start this year actually as well, so maybe they've turned the corner that way. But last year was a quiet year for them, so I think Many Tears here on stable debut for James Ferguson is the one to beat.
Okay, we have agreement that Many Tears is the one to be with in the Listed Snowdrop Stakes to kick off the ITV coverage at Kempton. At least we think it will. The 240 at Kempton is the Rosebery Handicap. It's 1 mile and 3 furlongs. It's a good pot. It's a 50 grand to the winner. Again, we're operating without paddy power prices, but some of the firms are up already. Have a word with your trading buddies there, Joe. I mean, all these holidays you're taking. Anyway, Old Harrovian is the favourite with other bookies and probably will be with us too as we record at around about 9-2, 11-2 Chillingham, and in Tinso, it's double figure odds the rest. I'll stick with you, Joe. Big field, might even be an extra place.
I'd say it probably will be, PK. Yeah, we don't have extra places yet either, I don't think. But the one that stands out for me again is Old Harrovian. You said 9-2, was it?
That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, best odds category. So hopefully you can do that too, Joe.
We try our best. He's making his handicap debut off 93 here, and he's running in decent maidens, winning 2 of them impressively by 4 and 6 lengths respectively. But he was then plunged quickly into Group 3 company Newbury, and look, was in a good race. Likes of Yabir and Bolshow Ballet were in it. I think he might have just found it a bit hot that day. But look, he's totally unexposed, dropping into handicap company for the first time and a seasonal debut as well. So I think there should be probably plenty of improvement to come. Andrew Balding has his horses ready as well. He's a strike rate of 21% the last 2 weeks. So I think it's likely he'll be fit here. And if he is, he should go very close.
Old Harrovian, does that mean you went to Harrow? Rory, is that where that is? That
yes,
what
that's
means?
An Old Harrovian.
Okay, I assume you went to Harrow, Rory. So give us the your thoughts.
I worked for Ladbrokes. If that counts as going to Harrow, then in a manner of speaking, it does, doesn't it? Old Harrovian is a very obvious one. Tongue tied for the first time off the best part of a year. Just a little bit of a question mark for me. But Joe makes a very good point that Andrew Balding has hit the ground running with his runners at the moment. He's getting plenty of winners. I thought this would be on the sharp side for Chillingham, who was due to run over further at Musselburgh last week before that meeting was called off. That puts me off him a little bit. At a double figure, probably double figure, I'm seeing 10-1. Seeing 10-1, Paddy Power.
You're seeing Paddy Power?
Useful King. I'm seeing Paddy Power prices.
Yes, fresh off the press. They've literally just landed 10-1 indeed.
Useful King for Luke Dace and Ethan Jones. Ethan Jones was on board last time. He was given a bit too much to do in a similar handicap at Lingfield last time, beaten a length of three quarters or so into fourth of 14, finishing strongly as he had on his previous start at Lingfield. For a horse with his run style, Kempton will suit him much better. He did run over a mile and a half here in a smaller field in January and was only fifth, but I think a well-run mile and a quarter is probably ideal for Youthful King. Ethan Jones will have got an idea of how to ride him from that run. His £7 claim will come in handy. He's maybe a bit more exposed than some of these, but he's running to his mark at the moment. He's tried in Group 3 company last season by Luke Dace. He doesn't have a lot of horses, but he's got plenty of ability, and he's run very well in his last two starts off the same sort of handicap mark. Was third at Lingfield, beaten less than two lengths two starts ago, and then really caught the eye running to the same level last time. And the way he shaped there suggested to me that the longer home straight here at Kempton would suit him, and at a double figure price, I'll go small each way on him. The Rosebery, you know, this used to be one of the big handicaps of the season, the Rosebery, and it's still always liable to fall to something that's fairly unexposed. But I think Youthful King were on a solid race. I think he might end up getting better than 10 to 1 on the day of item as well. So he's appealing from an each way perspective.
Okay, so Old Harrovian for Joe. Your colleagues have put him in a fours, Joe. So they nudged, took it a half.
I gave them the message there a minute ago, PK.
Yeah, so well, to be fair, you're cracking skulls here, to be fair. And those skulls are resulting in actual work being done. And you're not even on today. I'd say, do you know what's great? When a colleague of yours on their day off texts you and tells you what to do. That's you know, that is how to foster great relations between you and your colleagues. They're like, Joe telling us to put the prices up. Isn't he off today? What a... Oh, he tipped up a couple of winners in the pod. He thinks he's Jesus. Right, so, but hey, it works. Old Harrovian for Joe, Youthful King each way for Rory and the Rosebery, a.k.a. the 240 at Kempton. The Queen's Prize handicap is over 2 miles at Kempton. It's due up at 3:15. Paddy Power prizes, 3-1 favourite, Sweet Fantasy for James Owen. In the Gredley Silks, you've got James Fanshawe's classy novel legend taking a big drop in class. Ian Williams always got one in these big staying handicaps. He's got Aquam at 8-1, 8-1 Spirit Mixer for Andrew Balding and Oisin Murphy. 10's Duty of Care and Tritonic, there he is again, 7 years young for Holly Doyle and Alan King. Okay, Rory, off you go with the Queen's Prize.
Again, I don't think there's an absolute standout in the race. Novel Legend's got a lot of class, and I could see him running pretty well. He is, of course, a distance winner as well, going back. And I think you could ignore his last couple of runs last season on heavy ground. So he's tempting enough at the top of the weights. But Duty of Care has run very well in this before. I think he was second last year. He was disappointing last time out in the all-weather championships, marathon, final, whatever they want. They give them all funny names, don't they? Just give them all the same format for crying out loud.
Old man yells at cloud.
In the race won by Pridwin, I don't think he was particularly well suited by the way the race panned out. Held up at the back of the field under David Egan, he was taken over from Shane Kelly. Safi Osborne takes over now, and again, you know, Safi Osborne's going to have a good season. I think she's already made a few headlines out in the Middle East early this year, and her riding last season was massively improved. She rides with a lot of confidence, probably coming from being Jimmy Osborne's daughter. Jimmy's a man not over-endowed with false modesty, is he? So Safi's very much a chip off the old block. She's very confident, and it's well-placed. She's come on an awful lot as a jockey in the last two or three seasons. She was very good last year. I think she'll do very well this season as well. Judy Kerr is not an easy ride, but that won't bother her. He needs to come from off the pace. He can start slowly. He's drawn a stall 14 here, which is not ideal on paper either. But I think Safi Osborne's one of those jockeys who knows exactly what the potential pitfalls are in a race like this. She knows, you know, that she's got to overcome a tricky draw. She knows that she can't get too far adrift. She also knows that, you know, she doesn't necessarily want to be panicking early on and trying to rush him into contention if he starts fairly slowly. I think the chances are you're going to have a reasonable pace here. And again, with Kempton, you can just wait until the straight to make a move, and things can unfold fairly rapidly from there. So I'm hoping that Duty of Care, with a pace to run at, will be better positioned this time than he was last with Safi doing the riding, and I think he's capable of winning off a mark of 90.
All right. Duty of care for the Osbournes. Not that TV show, which has been forgotten, I think. Fairly forgotten. Old Ozzy and what was his wife's name? The redhead? Sharon, thank you. And then there was the kids as well, Jack and...
Pretending he doesn't know what Sharon
is. I don't. She's changed. She's like, she's hurt. Well, actually, she hasn't. Her face is still the same. Poor old Ozzy. He was great crack. Don't know how to do it. Right, Joe, your thoughts? Oh, that was a weird segue we went on. Your thoughts on this race?
A bit like Rory. Like, there's no standout here. To be honest, Chapeka, I struggle to find a bet. So the way I play the race, if someone is looking to play it, is I probably play Slay the favorite Sweet Fantasy here. 3-1, like you might be like 1.7 to place top three or something like that. I'd probably lay, just like it was running over a mile, 10 furlongs, and then eventually got 12 for Rafe Beckett before switching to James Owens, running over hurdles. It looks finishing her race well over hurdles, over 2 miles on bad ground, which is fair enough. But a lot of them have been kind of a non-contest, really, haven't they? She has been impressive, but I think 2 miles in the flat is a different kettle of fish. There's going to be a ridiculously strong pace here as well, and she likes to go forward. So I could see her perhaps being up in the pace and then maybe not staying as well as others here. So look, I'd only be laying for small money. I wouldn't be usually the way I play races, but yeah, I think I'd lay the favorite Sweet Fantasy top three here on the exchange if anyone has an account.
Interesting angle into potentially laying the...
I didn't know we could do that. I'd be doing a lot more of that, but that was given to me as an option.
Because he gave us those winners of the weekend, I'm allowing it, but it was a one...
He's opened the door now.
To be fair, if there was a... You know, Kelso's obviously in doubt, so we're not covering a whole lot of racing, so I'll give my opinion on just this one special occasion.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was nice. So a play Slay with our sister company Betfair, which is available to be done, of course. And we're all one big happy Flutter family here, Rory. The happiest of Flutter families. So it's no problem. But yeah, don't do that again, Joe. All right. Okay. Those are the three races on ITV. About an hour before we recorded, I sent the lads an email saying, Kelso's probably not going to be on, lads. So have a look at everything else. And to be fair to them, they're already midway through their study. But what I did is I said, right, I'm going to throw a few races at you and just talk to me about them. And one of those is the alleged stakes at 255 at the Curragh on Saturday, because it is a really good looking contest. It's a 55 grand pot. You've got Aidan O'Brien with Greenland, who is ridden by Wayne Lord. Now, the fact that Ryan goes to Chelmsford to ride Capulet is maybe a sign of who Ballydoyle fancy more. You've also got Adrian Murray with a fascinating run of Crypto Force. Go back a couple of seasons, he was beating the very smart Adelaide River, and a Beresford looked like a horse who was really going places. We haven't seen him in 560 days. Lafayette and Helvic Dream, regular runners in these type of races for Noel Mead. And White Birch, who of course was placed in the Derby last year, coming from way back for John Joseph Murphy. So I've set it up, lads. Whether you're going to give me a winner or otherwise, or maybe something to follow through the season from that lot, I will open the door. I'm not even going to name a name. First in gets to talk. Off you go.
I like Maxux. He's getting in there as quickly as he could. He's always had light last season, and I naffed him when he was unplaced in the second and third start, and then left him alone when he won at Ferry House in September, or she rather, in the Lanway Studs Philly Stakes. I thought her debut win at Goran was outstanding, given how that race was run. I thought she did a hell of a lot of running to win that race from what was a fairly poor position, and she won a very good style. I thought, right, I know it was only an ordinary maiden, and you know there was some reasonably established maidens in the frame. I thought she has to be at least listed class after that, and she's running a couple of listed races. She wasn't suited by the way the race was run. The second time out at Nairs, but she still looked very green. She fell out of the stalls. She struggled to get into contention. She was heavily backed that day, went off at 2-1 and finished last of nine, but she shaped a bit better than the bare result. That was in quick ground, and it was quick enough again when she ran and showed a bit more when six at the Curragh in listed company. But back on softish ground at Ferry House in September in that Lanway Stud Stakes, she showed what she could do. She's beautifully bred. She's by Frankel out of Chrysanthemum. She just looked quite gawky early last season, but to win as she did on debut, when she clearly wasn't really expected either, she's gone off quite a big price. 12-1 SP. Her bet for SP was 22. I thought she had to be something above average. It's taken her a little while to maybe find her feet, and she probably needs given the ground when she gets plenty of given the ground in the alleged stakes. And I think she's a really interesting project. Whether she's ready for this, I don't know, but she's definitely a filly. If I had to have a 10 to follow from Irish stables for the year, she'd definitely be in there.
Do you know who owns her?
Not offhand, but I did check it last year.
That Real Madrid football or something, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So close. He actually plays for Real Sociedad now, lads. Ah. So. he did, though. He did play for Real Madrid last season when he obviously still owned the filly. His name is Alvaro Odriozola. It's 28-year-old player now at Real Sociedad. And actually, where is he? Yeah, he went on loan to Bayern Munich and Fiorentina as well. But yeah, proper footballer.
Joseph. It's a proper race as well, PK, isn't it? Like this is like you have like Lafayette, who's a course specialist over 10 furlongs in the Curragh, and he's going to like be suited by the heavy ground. Greenland, like you said, probably isn't overly fancy with Ryan in Chelmsford. And look, he's a useful horse, but I don't think he's anywhere near the top in Coolmore. But look, Rory touched on Crypto Force. I like Maxim as well, to be fair. But Crypto Force is very interesting, beating August Rodan on debut and beating Adelaide River, who's obviously second in the Irish Derby last year. And like Rory said, he doesn't know if Maxim's going to be fit for this race, but I think you can kind of bank on Crypto Force being ready, can't you? Ammo tend to have their horses ready first time out in the early season. I know he's been off a long time, but look, it'd be interesting to see which way the market's going. I wouldn't have a selection myself, but it is going to be a cracking race and one that's going to be a useful form guide going forward into the season.
The interesting thing about him is he's had 3 runs and 5 trainers.
I was just going to say, you beat me to it. So I was just going to say, so Michael O'Callaghan, then he went to the Gosdens, never raced for them. And Adrian Murray, there's probably a couple in between, isn't there?
George Bowie also, he was with George Bowie in the race as well. Yeah. And obviously he's been in pre-training as well, because that's always the way with Nelson Aguiar. So.
That's very interesting horse, Crypto Force. Yeah. And as you said, it is the MO of Ammo. To have their horses ready. Could be really interesting. And you said he beat Adelaide River. He was second in the Irish Derby, was he? I thought he won that race, judging by Jim. I thought he won the Derby, or he could have.
Tenderly handled, according to some.
he could have won the Irish Derby, couldn't he? Look, it's a very good race. It's going to be live on Racing TV. The alleged stakes show for $2.55. I'm delighted I flagged it up, lads.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
The other race I wanted to flag up that actually I'd make heavy odds on to be on ITV, and I've actually got Paddy Power prices for this. Go on the Traders, Joe. You really have cracked the whip. The Woodford Reserve. We'll have a glass of it. Cardinal Condition Stakes. It's on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Not Derby. It's the Derby over there. A mile race. £100,000 pot. A Capulet for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore is 6-4 favourite for the race. Lovely debut at Dundalk, and then ran in obviously a couple of Group 2s behind Diego Velasquez and Ghost Rider. 6-4, 9-4 Cuban Tiger for Carl Burke and Clifford Lee, who's got good all-weather form, including when winning just on Good Friday at Newcastle, one of their big races. Orna for the Gosdens is 5-1, 10-1 Bergamasco. Jack Davison sending over Bergamasco. Richard Hughes got Bracken's Laugh. Again, lads, I appreciate you probably haven't had a huge amount of time to look at this race, but Capulet could have gone to the Ballysacks. Interesting they're going here. He's hardly, Joe, going to be heading to Kentucky, though.
No, I wouldn't think so. Coolmore and Associates have the antipost favourite for the Kentucky Derby already, so it's a Chad Brown horse who's actually running on Saturday night as well in Keeneland. So I'd say, unless barring a disaster, I doubt they'll reroute any of their Irish horses over there. But I think Capulet, by Justify out of a Galileo mare, would be one that would maybe tick the box of a potential Kentucky Derby horse, and one that will probably act very well on the all weather. But it's definitely a horse that was interesting to me for a lot of the time last season. I thought his run behind Diego Velasquez in Leopardstown and Champions Weekend was obviously really eye-catching. I don't think he got the best passage or run of the race that day. I don't think he was best suited by how it turned out. And look, the market obviously saw it as well. He went off 7-4 favourite last time in Newmarket in the Group 2 and was only beaten a length by Ghost Rider. So look, he's one that on breeding should really develop turning tree now, and one that we'll have our eyes closed on heading towards the classics.
Yeah, be an interesting one. Well, another Shamey Heffernan rival given a bit of tick to there. Of course, Shamey Heffernan not with Ballydoyle anymore. Any angle to this, Rory, before we move over to potentially France?
Not really. I mean, the second and third favourites are both coming off a run in that Good Friday race at Newcastle last week, the Burrowden Stakes. And it doesn't look like this is particularly a long-term plan. It's just a good opportunity, good prize money for horses who are already fit. Cuban Tiger came out the best that day and looks to have a little bit more scope than Orn. But the pair of them, I think, will struggle to cope with Capulet, who's open to plenty of improvement. I remember the dam well. I backed her for the Oaks. I think she never turned up in the day. She was favoured for the Lingfield Oaks trial and got turned over, and then she finished second in the Nassau at Goodwood, splitting Legatissimo and Arabian Queen, who went on to win the international on her next start. So she was a very useful performer herself, Wedding Vow, and you know, typical Galileo mare. She's going to throw good stock as well. Capulet's didn't show his best form, but obviously has his win at Dundalk. So artificial surfaces are absolutely ideal for him. Chelmsford will suit as well. He looks to have outstanding claims, so I can't dig up any value angle there other than to suggest that the favourite should have a fairly well. Maybe I don't know how easy it's going to be, but I'd be very surprised if he gets beaten.
Perfect. I've got a clip for Saturday afternoon. Thank you, Joe. thank you, Joe and Rory, on the race there at Chelmsford, which, as I said, is likely to be on ITV. We don't know yet, but if Kelso goes the way of the weather, I would imagine that's going to be shoehorned in. They've actually moved the car forward.
That meeting's been moved a little bit as well. That was going to be an evening meeting, the Chelmsford, meeting. So they've at least moved it forward to get it on the telly because Kelso is a million.
Okay, well, with Kelso being a million in mind, partnership, there are four races scheduled for it, right? So we're gonna skip through it nice and quick, lads, because this could be completely pointless. But there are some interesting horses, and we do hope the card goes ahead. So let's give it a little bit of a heads up. The Skeletons have got Major Fortune in the 150, who has been smashed up. 7-2 into 15-8. But Charles and Philip Burns are there with Aeon May, who's an interesting runner for sure. Stuart Crawford's there. Lucinda Russell's there. Obviously, she'll be hoping her horses continue to run well ahead of next week. And she'll be hoping it stops raining as well at Aintree. Okay, Joe, quick fire. Give me the win of the 150, Kelso.
I think the money's correct in the Antipost Market PK. Major Fortune for me is the one to beat. Looks very hard to know where the ceiling is with him. But he was really well backed in handicap debut off 81 and was beaten. But I feel sorry for anyone who's backed him that day, because he's gone on to win his next six. He's gone off £33 in the handicap. He won last time out off 101. He got £11 for that, so he's off 112 here. But look, he won the canter, and it's as if Harry Skelton just wanted him to drop him on the line, literally, and he did so. He is taking a step up in company, so you probably wouldn't want a really sharp price about him. But look, he's just one of those that, you know, it's impossible to know where the ceiling is. He could have another £12 in hand, who knows? But look, he's the one who stands out a mile for me. He's definitely going to handle the ground. And look, Dan Skelton is in great form this spring and is one that's a really good target trainer. So I think they're going for a nice pot with him here.
Major Fortune for Joe. Rory?
Yeah, I hate to be dull, but I agree. He looked all right in bumpers, and then he had his wind issues when he went hurdling. Well, listen, given who had trained him in the past and the modus operandi, Tom Lacey had him before he went to Dan Skelton, and the Tom Lacey modus operandi with horses coming through the bumper sphere is they show a bit of ability in bumpers. They suddenly seem to have lost a leg in the first three runs over hurdles, and then they bolt up on handicap debut. He didn't quite fit that bill. He obviously switched from Tom to Dan. Didn't quite get the job done first time of asking in handicap, and was backed off the boards to do so, and has just improved steadily since that. And I completely agree with Joe. His opening mark was massively inadequate, and when you get it wrong by 30 or 40 pounds, knocking them up 7 or 8 pounds every time they win takes a while to fix the issue. And he still looked to have plenty in hand last time out, so it's going to take all the beating again.
Exactly. All right, Dan Skelton. It could be Kelso. We'll be very foolish if this car goes ahead at all the top. But anyway, let's go on to the Belhaven Brewery. I wouldn't mind a little trip to a brewery. 225 race. It's the handicap hurdle. It's a series final. So for a lot of connections, hoping this goes ahead. This is wide open. Five's the field on Thursday afternoon. Era Street for Jackie Stephen, Danny McMenamin, that favourite. The anti-post movers, Sue Smith's North Parade, who's been in good form at 6-1. Dance Thief, 8-1. And Eloy Dupuis, and 6-1 for Kilter. Back to you, Mr. DeLargy.
I like Kilter here. I like Sam England is the kind of trainer who picks up on something like these Go North series races and just has a bunch of horses that might fit the bill for them. And Kilter is just the type of horse who's been laid out all season for this race. Well beaten in the novice hurdles in the autumn at Hexham, Sedgefield and Carlisle, has improved for going handicapping, winning at Southall and then running better in defeat when second at Haydock last time. It should have won as well. Yelan, the winner, who's pretty progressive himself for Jenny Candlish, just got the jump on Kilter. Kilter finished strongly into second, up £5 again for that. But it's the same old story. It's like if you're a good trainer and you know where you need to be at a certain point, you know, we talk about this with Cheltenham all the time and the proper target trainers. This is for the lesser horses, not necessarily the lesser trainers, just because your horses are all rated sort of 100 and 110 and lower, doesn't mean that you're not as shrewd as trainers who get winners at the Cheltenham Festival. And Sam England is, she's a very shrewd trainer. Jonathan, her husband, does the riding, and they do pretty well in races like this. And Kilter just really jumps off the page to me.
Jumps off the page. Kilter for Rory. There are three horses doubly declared for this in this contest. None of those were mentioned at the top of the market, so it should be fine. Joe?
I really like two in here. I hope the race does go ahead because I quite strongly fancy them, to be honest. And they were first and second over course.
You're going to put up two non-runners. Fantastic. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm only going to put up one, to be fair, but I couldn't. Look, they're first and second over course in distance last month, and look, they're Forged Well and Eloy Dupuis. But look, I think Forged Well probably has a higher ceiling than Eloy Dupuis. But he was pulled up on handicap debut, and the jockey reported that the ground is too heavy for him. So I think off that jockey report, you can kind of strike a line through him here. I'd be gutted if he did run well, because that's enough to put me off. But I think Eloy Dupuis, he beat him last time out. Look, he's had a brilliant season. He's won four races. He was second once and he was brought down once. So look, he's been a dream horse to own this season for Connections, hasn't he? He's ground versatile. He's won on good to soft. He won last time out in what looked like testing ground, so he should handle it again. He's up £4 from that, and like I said, he might have a lower ceiling than, you know, these unexposed ones like the England horse that Rory put up or Forged Well if the ground is better. But look, I think he's consistent enough that you can play him each way and you'll get a real good run for your money.
Or the meeting will go ahead. Yes, Eloy Dupuis then for... I'm very negative. Oh my God, I'm going to stop this. All right, get Kilter and Eloy Dupuis for the lads in the 2:25. 3 o'clock at Kelso is the handicap chase on the card. Two shots at Tequila. Love it. 2-1. Your favourite, Does He Know, for Kim Bailey is 9-4. Elvis Mail for Nick Alexander, 130. That has been very well back to the anti-post mark. Oh, maybe the field's cut up. I'm not sure. Joe can tell me. Your Own Story, 7-1. And Ballycoos for Stuart Crawford, 8-1. So only five here, Joe.
Yeah, only five, and Elvis Mail was really well back in the anti-post market. I think he was put up by a couple of tipsters, and they were spot on at the time. I'd say he was probably priced as... he was a big enough price anyway that would suggest maybe he wouldn't show up, but he has shown up and they've beaten the price, so fair play to him. But look, I like Does He Know for Kim Bailey. I think he probably should be favoured, to be honest. Look, he bounced back last time out, dropping back into handicap company and beat a horse of called some scope that... you know, looks like one that could really improve going forward as well. That was in the Grimthorpe at Doncaster. I thought he was really good off of a mark of 149, and he's been given a chance by the handicapper as well. He's up to 154, so £5 hike. But look, he won a handicap in Cheltenham at the November meeting off 152, so I don't think this is a massive task for him. He's still only nine. He does seem like he's around forever, but look, you know, I think he should be able to lug around this way, no problem to him. And look, I think the key in the angle here is that he's back into handicap company. I think he just maybe found a graded races and the likes of the Fleur de Lis at Lingfield against Lompress and Protectorate, just a bit too hot for him. You know, they're a different kettle of fish, and some horses really thrive when they drop back into handicap company. So look, even though it's a small field here, I don't mind backing a classier sort of a horse at the top of the weights when they drop back into handicap company. So it's Does He Know for me.
Does he know indeed for Joe? Rory?
I struggled with this, I have to say. Elvis Mill was too big, but he's probably the right price now rather than too big. The issue with Elvis Mill is that he almost always makes mistakes or offenses. He misses one out all the time. He's been running well all season. You can ignore the run last time out, which is over hurdles. He was a good third in that listed race here early in March, the Premier Chase, where he looked a big threat at one stage. If he can avoid mistakes, he's probably the one to beat, but it is a big if given his overall record. And yeah, I think Joe's got a good point with Does He Know. Even with 12 stone, he's dangerous here. He's a funny horse. He's won three times in good to firm ground, and I had him down as a horse who probably needed a sound surface, but he's now twice won on bottomless ground. So I was convinced early in his career he couldn't handle testing ground. He's a nutcase. He's an absolute lunatic. If you ever see him in the parade ring, he looks like he's liable to turn over backwards, and they have to get him in and out as quickly as they can. But he's not as bad as he used to be. He would threaten to bolt in the parade ring. And they've gradually got to grips with him. So again, as Joe said, he's nine. He's been around a fair while, but he's fairly lightly raced for one of his age. And again, it's unoriginal, but I think given how well he won the Grimthorpe last time out, I think he is the likeliest winner. He's a sounder jumper than Elvis Mail, and those two are a bit better class than the rest of the runners here.
All right, well, that is the 3 o'clock at Kelso. 3:35 is due to be on. I think this race wasn't originally an ITV, then it was, then it wasn't. But anyway, it's the Mayor's Novice Handicap Hurdle. And if the card is called off, I'd say Stuart Crawford and Simon Ear and Isaac Sweat are going to be absolutely gutted. Because having just looked at this race for 5 seconds, I can see exactly what they've done here. Brucio, the top weight, Ben Bromley's book to ride, will keep a few horses out of the handicap. And Lily de Burleigh, I'll go back to you, Rory. She gets in here off 116. If you take, and I know a bumper run is a bumper run, but if you take her bumper win in a grade two, DRF a couple of seasons ago, she had so many great horses behind her that day. 116 looks a gift, but that's just from me looking at the race for 5 seconds. What are your thoughts on it?
It's a tricky one because, yeah, you're right. She was a very, very good bumper performer. She had two very good runs at the DRF in consecutive years. She hasn't really taken off over hurdles, to say the very least. She showed plenty second time up over hurdles, but she was off after pulling up at Ferring House, where she jumped poorly. And she came back in a warm-up for this at Catterick, of all places, in a pretty weak contest. She was sent off 15-8 on favourite, and she really should have won with her head in her chest, and she was well beaten. So the question is, if this is the plan, then, you know, you'd have to sit up and take notice. But it's difficult to be confident about Lily de Burleigh on what she's done over hurdles. And it's interesting that she essentially spent two seasons in bumpers, didn't she? I struggled to back her after what she did last time out at Catterick. There's no, I've got no jockey honour at the moment.
Me neither.
No. So it may well be that maybe the everyone's being Ben Bromley's riding Brucio to keep the way. Maybe Brucio's the one, and she is pretty obvious, to be perfectly honest. She was brought down in the Premier Knobs and Hurdle here last time out, unluckily. Prior to that, of course, she'd won that really competitive Paddy Mullins Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, which has got a tremendous record of throwing up subsequent winners, even at the Cheltenham Festival. She was rated 116. She was a lot higher in the weights but that was a very competitive handicap hurdle. She won it well. She was clearly ahead of her mark at that stage, and obviously she should have a higher UK mark anyway. Ben Bromley's claiming the 5 offer. She's got a lot of class. 11 stone 9 is not a stopping weight here, and as you said, plenty of them are out of the weights. So I'd give Brucio the chance to bounce back from her unfortunate experience here last time and underline the merit of that Leopardstown win.
Excellent. The double green have it wrapped up, apparently. But with Brucio, according to Rory, Joe?
Yeah, I don't really have a selection, to be honest, PK, but I would probably side with Brucio as well. It's interesting, Daryl Jacobs, obviously injured, missed out on the Irish Grand National winner. I'm sure he'd be gutted about that. But you'd imagine Bren Bromley would be on the one that they fancy stronger here, I would imagine anyway. And look, winning that Paddy Mullins Mayor's Handicap Hurdle at the DRF is, you're usually, you know, a high class mare if you can win that, and she won it snug enough by 6 lengths. So, you know, if I was to have a bet, I'd probably side with her, but it's not really a race that particularly enticed me.
Okie doke. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much. Yeah, that is the 3:35 of Kelsall. Fingers crossed it goes ahead, and that wasn't a bit of a waste of time, but we've done the work, so we may as well showcase it. Fingers crossed it goes ahead. Before we wrap up, there is an excellent card. I'm not going to ask you, lads, but there's an excellent card at Leopardstown on Sunday that includes what used to be known as the Guineas Trials, the 2000 and 1000 Guineas. They're now called the Red Rock Stakes of Group 3 and the Priory Bell Stakes, because the Ballylinch Stud have taken over sponsorship. Again, if you want to listen to Fran Berry, had a quick chat, myself and Fran had a quick chat about those races and the Ballysacks as well, which is on Sunday at Leopardstown. Always a good meeting to go to. You will see some, it's likely you'll see Group 1 winners. They may not have won Group 1s as of yet, but it's likely you'll see Group 1 winners on that card. And before I get naps, you mentioned, you teased us, Joe, that there is some top class American racing on Saturday evening. The road to the Kentucky Derby continues.
There's indeed, yeah. Keeneland's back this weekend, so can expect a Wesley Ward hot pot to come out and blitz the field and go in sharp price favourites for some race at Royal Ascot. But yeah, look, it's good racing. The feature of the night is a 9 furlong, the Bluegrass Stakes. It's a Grade 1 on the dirt, obviously, Road to Kentucky Derby. And the anti-post favourite for the Kentucky Derby is jocked up here and should show Sierra Leone for Chad Brown. Tyler Gaffleyone takes the ride, and it's owned by the lads, John Magner and co. So look, he ran a Grade 2 at Fairgrounds last time out. I believe the time was very good. He was all the talk after it. So look, it'd be interesting. He'd probably be an unbackable price here. I reckon if he's 4-1 anti-post for the Kentucky Derby, he'd probably be not a working man's price here, but one to keep an eye on if anyone's watching racing late into Saturday night. It's 10-11 the race is on, and you see if he can enhance his claims for the Kentucky Derby.
Yep, we'll keep an eye. Sierra Leone, favourite for the Kentucky Derby, likely favourite. I see there's a horse called Mugatu running in the race. That brings back the old Zoolander memories. Anyway, it was Will Ferrell played Mugatu, wasn't it? The evil clothes designer. Nope, no one?
Yeah.
Mueller? Yeah. Okay, right.
What was it Blue Ice? Was it Blue Steel?
Blue Steel was his look. Yes, Blue Steel was what a film. I might watch that again. Whenever a sequel comes out that long after the original, you're like, nah, that was an afterthought, lads. I'm not getting that. And I didn't bother with two. But anyway, great film, Zoolander. Good luck to Mugatu. But Sierra Leone, definitely one to watch out for on the racing front. And there is a Grade 1, the Santa Anita Derby as well, actually, 12:30. Frankie's jocked up for Double B, Bob Baffert, on a horse called Imagination as well, for those who really want to watch your American racing. Lads, best bets of the weekend on a protracted weekend, I think it's fair to say. But let's see if we can get some nice winners. And given you gave us lovely winners last weekend, Joe, you get the honour.
I'm going to nap one from Kempton because it's going to be on. Many Tears for me is the one that's really interesting. Like I said, she's 2 from 3 on the all-weather and should improve after the Gerline stable was underperforming last year, and she's entitled to improve turning 4 as well. So, yeah, look, I expect her to take a step forward, and I think she's the one to beat here at a fairly decent price as well.
If you had given me a Kempton or a Kelso nap, it would have been a 3-week ban from the podcast, to be fair. So, Many Tears in the 205 for Joe. Rory?
Well, I was also with Many Tears when we talked to that race. I certainly would back that up. But I'll mention one we haven't talked about yet, just for the sake of doing that. Later on the card at Kempton, in the final race of the day, there's no prices for it yet, so I don't know. You know, it may be a bad price, but I think he had a fair chance of getting a reasonable price about it, given the way he lost his form late last season. Desert Cop comes back from 6 months off. Ended last season finishing 14th of 16, 7th of 8, 22nd of 24, and last of 6 over this course and distance. So I'm hoping he is ignored by a few, but he was very good early last season. He won the all-weather championships, the 3-year-old sprint race at Newcastle last season, and looked a decent sort. Was second in Lister Company at Newbury as well. So he proved his worth then and then just lost his way. I think he's the type to bounce back first time out this season. And he's very well entered up. I notice he's got 4 entries as well as this race. He's entered in a couple of other handicaps. including that very good Heritage handicap at the Guineas meeting, the Rowley handicap over 6 furlongs. But he's also in the Duke of York Stakes at York, which suggests that Connections still retain hope that he will turn into a group class sprinter. And having dropped a mark of 97, I think he's very dangerous. He doesn't have the best of draws, but Ocean Murphy and Andrew Balding getting winners, and Desert Club has got the speed to get away from a poor draw and outclass some slightly lesser rivals.
So you going as your nap?
I'm making my nap. Obviously, if he's putting at 6-4, I might rethink that. But there are no prices, so I'll just take my chance that he's a fair price.
He shall be. He shall be, as you rightly said. I'd be surprised if he's 6-4, but no one has priced that race up yet, not on ITV. But fingers crossed we get a nice price by Desert Cup, goes in as the nap, on a race I didn't even have on the running order. But we love it. We get a bit more content out of you, Delary. Content is king.
Oh, yes. You can't
content is king. Fantastic. Right, lads. It is a classic in-betweeny weekend. Next week, obviously, Aintree. We've got three days of Grade 1 action. We're going to have daily podcasts, I believe, as well, which is fantastic. I'm going to find time in my calendar. Are you doing any of those, Joe?
Not that I know of yet, anyway, not.
You might be producing Mark in the gym again, and you could be roped in. Depends on how you get on this weekend. I mentioned, obviously, the Punters Panel Show. Get your questions in. You still have time. They record on Monday for that, so you still have time to get your questions in. But as ever, it's weekend plans. Obviously, Rory, you were taxi driver last weekend to football practice and everything else and looking after the kids. Is it the same again this weekend?
This weekend, the kids have been at their grandmother's for a couple of days. They come back this afternoon. And then we're going to Exeter on Sunday, but sadly not to the races. My wife's doing a floristry course. She's a florist. She's going to go down there and do some coursework. So we're all going down as a family, and I'm going to entertain the kids during the day, and she's going to do her flowery stuff.
Have you hit TripAdvisor for top 10 things to do in Exeter when you're in Exeter florist course?
Yeah, I haven't as such, but we'll. When you've got two kids, it doesn't really matter what they say you should be doing culturally. They'll want to kick a ball around or play bowling. Video games.
You know? Bowling. Yeah, bowling. It's always
bowling. Why not? We've done a bit of bowling on the Wii. So, you know, maybe a bit of actual bowling.
Maybe the real thing. Yes, I didn't realize the Wii was still a thing. Well, look at you. Well,
I say the Wii. It's Nintendo Switch, actually, but it's the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. Fair enough. Cool. Right, so Rory's off to Exeter. Joe, you've been racing heavily recently. Are you racing this weekend?
I'm working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm racing today, actually. So it's now 10 to 1, and Nace kicks off at 10 past 2. So I'll be flying down the, whatever that road is, down to Nace, the motorway, whatever it's called,
N7. The N7, is it? I mean, we've been on, how do you not know it's the N7? It's the most heavily used road in Ireland, whatever road that is. You take it on the way home to Cork, you heathen.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
The N7. It gets referenced in nearly every traffic port ever in the history of any radio station in Ireland, whatever road that is.
There'd be no traffic anyway. It's Easter holidays, PK, and yeah, it's 1 o'clock dream, in the afternoon, it? So it'll be grand.
It has been a dream. You just like, you know, again, I'm going to give out to all these parents with kids. It's great when you're all on holidays together, lads, but why do you have to do it all at the same time? Why can't we spread it out a little bit so that, like, next week's going to be a nightmare coming to work because you're all bloody back in work. I'm trying to set meetings out with people. So, oh no, the kids are off, so I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Oh, grand! I'll just pick up your work, no problem.
You should get onto the schools and get them to give the children their holidays at different times depending on the letter that begins their surname. Right, all children whose surname begins with A, your Easter holidays will be at the start of Lent and moving on through the alphabet.
Poor old Centre Parks would lose a few quid then, because I believe when they on the Easter holidays, and that's the prices, I think, are they do Cheltenham level price gauge. Yeah. I think Cheltenham Festival level. Oh, you want a hut there for the Easter weeks? Yeah, that's 68 times the price it was the previous week. But you're lucky, you love it.
They should get a few steel boxes and put them in the field and charge 300 quid a night for them.
I see that didn't happen again this year. Oh, good grief. They might give it a go again next year. Maybe they'll just call it glamping instead or something along those lines. Yeah. Right, gents. Well, look, enjoy your weekend. Sorry to hear you're working all weekend, Joe. What am I doing this weekend? I'm playing golf tomorrow. Yeah, I'm playing golf in the European Club with the Flutter Golf Society. Weren't you in that, Joe? Myself and Kira. Do you hit a golf ball around a golf course, Joe?
I do, yeah. I haven't started yet. I'm a fair weather player now, to be honest. Well, ground's a bit soft and cold for me, so...
Yeah,
I will win once this summer. Do you know, down to Clarny in July there for the July Festival in Clarny and get a few rounds of golfing in the morning. It's a great week.
That is a good week. That's the way to do it. Of course,
that's early start. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. The bloody.
I've bought a new set of irons. I've got a new bag arriving tomorrow. So. Yeah, hit the few bills.
Look up golf courses in Exeter. You've got a couple of caddies there as well. So you're sorted.
I don't know why people pay to bring their clubs. Like if they fly home, they'll pay to stick the clubs. Just get a set of clubs for home. Anywhere you go on holiday, just buy a set of clubs and store them somewhere. People are then actually paying the your airline to stick them in the holes, isn't it?
Needs a couple of winners. You need a couple of winners. Yeah. So let's hope that Desert Cop can pay for the clubs as well as the many tiers. Listen, lads, thanks a million. Hopefully everything goes ahead. We will be in touch next week with three podcasts, one per day at Aintree. And as mentioned, Punter's Panel, of course, will be live as well on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Still have a chance of getting a free bet. Get your questions in for Frank Hickey in particular to see how he would ride over the national fences were he to be able to do the weight, which he wouldn't. Chat to you next week, folks.